tent had four people in it. That, never mind. That explains everything right there. Oh, I missed y'all.
It was boring last Sunday. Everybody was all nice. And none of them say what they really meant. Oh, that's such a pretty dress. Yeah, I really did miss y'all. If you miss too many Sundays, you lose your parking space. You have to just park that thing wherever you can find it. Yeah. But next Sunday, we'll have the cones out for you. It is good to be home. It's good to see other churches and everything, but it's just not home. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. The Bible said, "Keep not thou silence, O God." You ever prayed and no reply? Have you ever needed to really get hold of somebody and you call them and it goes to voicemail and you leave a voicemail and you say, "I really need to talk to you, call me back just as soon as you can," and they don't. So you send them an email. "Please call me as soon as you get this email." Text them. "Please call me as soon as you get this text." Or I go into the kitchen and ask somebody who has Facebook to do that messenger thing on there and tell them I need to talk to them. And so the next day I get a call. Frustrating. When you want to hear from somebody, but you can't get hold of them. That ever happened between you and the Lord? Asaph is praying here, and it's a complaint. It's not an irreverent complaint. He's just saying, "I've got a problem, Lord. I need to hear from you. So please, keep not silence. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God." Please allow me to complain just a little bit. My dad was one of 10 children. My mother was one of 3. So like Midge, my relatives and cousins would fill a football stadium. My dad's family alone, at last count, those 10 children now are about 117 and counting. That's just on my dad's side. When the families all got together, there was noise. And there was a lot of noise. When we were in our house in Houston, there was noise. Houston is loud, especially if you live close to I-10. Noise always bothered me because most of the time there was quiet. I like quiet. When we were in Hanson Switch, Brother Gary, there was quiet. Did you notice when you were up there how quiet it was? When I was in the woods, when I was at Matt McFadden's Creek, when I was at D. Wood Shoulders Pond, there was quiet. I like that. nobody to scare the fish. Gave me time to think about how much I hated noise. When Simon and Garfunkel came out with the song, The Sound of Silence, I understood it. Older folks are going like this. The younger folks are going, okay, Google, not now, when you get home, Google Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. That really is a name. And you'll probably find it under ancient music. And by the way, speaking of music and noise, forgive my opinion. There is a difference between music and noise, or there should be. Irritating music at that. I don't remember if it was on the TV or on her phone, but I heard wafting through the house this noise by a woman who sounded like she was in awful pain. She was screaming and hollering. It sounded like her shoes were about two sizes too small and somebody was standing on them. And she was yelling for him to get off. You know, I said somebody needs to get me and that woman out of her misery and give one of us some relief. And I get this reply. Oh, I just love that song. I said, that was a song? And so the musical difference of opinion started. We were talking yesterday morning, the men's Bible study, about noise. How the first thing people do when they get in the car is turn the radio on. First thing they do when they get in the house is turn the TV on. And the phone makes all those noises. There's a noise when there's a call. And now I understand you can have a different sound for a different person who calls. Then there's a sound for a text. Then there's another sound if you get an email. Then there's another sound if you get an alert. Then you get, I understand you have another sound if someone posts on Facebook. When my wife posts on Facebook, I get an alert on my phone because I know there's problems coming. So the question comes, when do you have time to think? Or perhaps that's what some folks don't want to do. Maybe it disturbs their conscience. I love and I crave the quiet and the sound of silence, except when it comes from the Lord or from my wife. Guys, let me talk to you husbands a minute. You know how she's always talking, complaining, nagging. But what's even worse and more annoying is the silent treatment. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Baby, what's wrong? Nothing. Now, that means, of course, something. But you're going to have to guess what it is or wait because you're going to eventually find out. The silent treatment. That's a whole lot worse than just a bad mood. Am I right, guys? Yeah, I know. All the husbands whose wife aren't here are saying amen. The rest of you ain't saying a word. I understand. Now, that's exactly what Asaph is referring to here in verse 1. He's getting a silent treatment from the Lord. And so is the whole nation of Israel. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. Here, there's a problem. Verse 2, lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people. Lifting up the head is going against authority. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones, children. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. There's a serious situation that's developed in Israel, Lord. The enemies have completely encircled north, east, west, and south. They have completely encircled Israel. When is the situation? Well, it could be in Jehoshaphat's time. Israel has been encircled by enemies a lot. May 1948, they were encircled by their enemies. 1967, 1973, they were encircled by their enemies. God delivered them. There's going to come a time in the future. So this speaks not only of a historical event, it speaks of a prophetic event that's going to take place. Israel is again going to be encircled. But Asaph is trying to hear from the Lord in this psalm. There's a serious development. There's a serious situation in our country, Lord. I'm not getting any leading from you. I'm not hearing from you. I'm not getting a direction from you. I'm not getting an answer to my prayer. I'm getting the silent treatment. The larger context of this is, of course, James chapter 1, where we're seeing that true religion, true Christianity, endures trials and temptations in chapter 1. The central truth is verse 22, of course, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Doing works of faith rather than works of the flesh, both good and bad. And if that's one of the leading characteristics of true Christianity, to work out your faith into works that affect other people, if that's one of the leading characteristics of true Christianity and that it helps people the most, then be assured that the enemy of God is going to do everything that he can to hinder and to even prevent that from taking place in your life. The first hindrance we've seen is verses 1 to 12, trials and testings. Failing to respond to a trial by faith. And we've been looking at the second hindrance to living out this normal Christian life of faith and good works produced from that faith in God's Word. Starting in verse 13, if you'll turn over there with me, James chapter 1, verse 13. I want to reread just those verses. Wanted to reacquaint you with the whole chapter. Thank you, Brother Gary. Verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Let no man say, I'm under the grace of God, so it's okay for me to sin. That's blaming your sin on God and on God's mercy and grace. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, of his own desire. of his own will, of his own purpose, of his own agenda, of his own lust, and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. James is writing to Christians. And he's saying that it's possible for a child of God who loves God to still get messed up with sin and disobedience to the Lord. And we can excuse it and we can justify it all we want to, but it's not acceptable to the Lord. I know community standards have changed, and what's right and wrong changes with the wind, but the Word of God does not change. This is a giving in to temptation with sin and disobedience instead of with faith. Verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," there's the brethren again, "let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak." Or as Dad used to always say, God gave you two ears and one mouth so that you could hear twice as much as you talk. When you're talking or thinking about what you're going to say, you're not listening. One of the ways the Lord deals with us is with silence. It gets our attention. It was one of the primary ways the Lord used to get Israel's attention in the Old Testament, as he does in Psalm 83. "Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. The enemies are strengthened and gaining ground and gaining a foothold. Our hidden ones, our children, are being lost to the enemy before and after birth." Lord, this is when we need to hear from you the most, yet there's only the sound of silence. Lord, don't you know that we're about to have an important election? Who do you want to win? The enemies of the Constitution and the foundations of our country are strengthening and gaining ground, Lord. Don't you realize that Donald Trump is the only hope for our country? But yet, silence. Not from the politicians, but definitely from the Lord. Now, I wonder why that is. Could it just be perhaps that we have mentioned the names of Donald Trump and Joe Biden more than we've mentioned the name of Jesus Christ? Could it possibly be that our thoughts and attention and focus is not on the Lord? The only question to answer on November 3rd is whether the Lord is going to give this country another opportunity and mercy to repent and turn back to Him, or continue on with the judgment that's already begun. The church is asking why the Lord is silent when we should already know why He's silent. Because the church has been silent. Why does He keep silent? First and foremost is because we're not listening when He did speak. Why is the Lord keeping silence? It's because when He did speak, we wasn't listening. And you see that phrase over and over in the Bible that I mentioned in Pastor's Pals. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. In Revelation 2 and 3, the phrase is, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. Where is he saying that? In his word. The churches aren't hearing. They're too busy doing other things. Could it be remotely possible that one of the reasons for this corona thing to be allowed to be allowed to happen is because of work and jobs and weekend events and school and doing something on Sunday other than worshiping God in church? And those things have had more priority than the Lord. Just could it be? Pastors in a lot of the churches have told me they have lost as much as half the people that used to be coming in March. Thank the Lord that hadn't been the case here. But I have to be careful that I don't brag. Because we're human just like everybody else. We have a sin nature just like everybody else. For some reason, the Lord has held us together even when we didn't meet. We still had the prayer list. We still prayed for each other. We still gave our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Amen. But don't be weary, church, in well-doing. Thank the Lord that He's moved us to do that. They said it seemed like it gave folks a good excuse who didn't really want to come to church anyway, gave them a good excuse to stay away. Seems like they like not having the responsibilities and the accountability of being a working, serving member of a church family. Plus, they get to be in control of a service on the internet. They can even choose their own preacher, one who speaks with an accent. Hard to understand. They like to be able to fast forward through parts of a sermon. Even better yet, they like to turn it off when it gets a little bit too personal. Not surprising that the Lord is silent these days because we're not listening. How does the Lord speak to us? He speaks through His Word. So, in one case, it's not so much that the Lord is silent, is that we have silenced Him. He's still speaking, but we have shut Him out by not opening His Word. When you don't read His Word, you won't hear His voice. It's like being hungry, but yet never opening the refrigerator or the pantry. When His Word is changed by the opinion of translators and theologians, the Lord is silent because they're speaking, not Him. When the Lord is speaking, some just simply don't want to hear what He has to say. And they just shut Him out. Like some people do when they come to church. They're somewhere else. They're not here. They're somewhere else. That's not the case with Asaph and Israel in Psalm 83, though. The case there is we're listening, but the Lord is silent. He's not saying anything. We've opened His Word. Not speaking. Have you read, got up in the morning and started reading, and those words just seem to come alive and minister and speak to where you are? Other times you open it and you read a few verses and your mind's 100 miles away and you forgot what you even read. He also speaks His Word through His children. But when His children are in disobedience and living in an unconfessed sin, He's silent. If we're not going to do the last thing that He's told us to do, He's not going to say anything more. That's the case with Israel in Psalm 83. The Church of Jesus Christ in this country has been silent, and they have not spoken the gospel to the lost or sent missionaries to the field like they used to do, or discipled the Lord's people in the Word of God. So the Church of Jesus Christ in this country is hearing the silence of God. And just because He's silent doesn't mean He's not working. A lot of strange things taking place this year, is it not? Well, some people are blaming it on the year. Well, it's 2020. Some people are blaming it on climate change. You know, the climate has never changed in the whole history of the planet. And of course, if you spend $10 trillion of money that you don't have, you just produce it, that'll change the weather. Some blame it on the Democrats. Some blame it on the Republicans. It's good to have somebody to blame so you don't have to take the responsibility yourself. But could there be another reason? Could there be another reason for all the strange things that's going on? The hurricanes, the fires, earthquakes. Now, folks, I want you to listen very carefully. If unconfessed sin and disobedience in God's children is producing this sound of silence from God, here's what we need to do. Are you listening? Here's what we need to do. We need to confess our sin to Him. Look at Psalm 32. When you get this, we'll be done. If you don't get it, we won't be done. So get this. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Remember when you first got saved and realized God had wiped the slate clean? Man, maybe you wasn't as bad as I was. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there's no guile. There's still sin. But the Lord doesn't charge you with the sin. He doesn't write it down in the book for you to have to pay for later, because Jesus Christ paid for all the sin. It's gone. We don't sin against the Creator. We do not sin against the judge after we're saved. We sin against our Father. The relationship is still there. But something has marred the closeness of that relationship, the closeness of that fellowship, and it's sin and disobedience in His children. Oh, we're still saved, but you can't climb up in the lap of your Heavenly Father and pray and ask for things and hear His voice any more than when your children are disobedient. They can't come sit on your lap and get a raise in their allowance. They're still your children, but something has interfered with the closeness of the fellowship, and that's sin. But there's a way for that to be corrected. 1 John chapter 1. If, conditional, if we confess our sins, who's we? Not lost people. Lost people don't confess their sin. Lost people admit that they are a sinner. If we, God's people, confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, preacher, that happened at salvation. Yes, it did, legally. But we're talking about positionally with the relationship, with the fellowship that we have with our Father, which is the basis of chapter 1 of 1 John. Fellowship, joy. Sin robs us of the closeness of fellowship with the Lord and with each other and with joy. Blessed is that man who is in that position. Verse 3, when I kept silence, when I didn't pray, when I didn't fellowship with the Lord, when I didn't spend time with Him, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. Verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. See, he's already forgiven, verses 1 and 2. He's in an eternal relationship, a never-ending relationship with God. That's not the issue. That's not the question. But sin has interfered into that fellowship. But here's what he did. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray, not the lost, unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. See that pastor's pals? See that rabbit in that rock? Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Who? The person who confesses their sin and has everything clean and straight between them and the Lord. But when it's not that way, when God is silent, we should be praying. When God is speaking, we should be silent. Let me say that again. When God is silent, we should be praying. And we keep praying till we hear from Him. Then when He is speaking, we should be silent. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and Be not still, O God, Asaph is praying. When God is speaking through His word or through His works, we should be silent and hold our peace and be still before Him. And do the things that He's told us to do. There's one other possibility of why the Lord is silent. Because He's not your Father. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, you won't hear from God. There's only one prayer that He will answer from a lost person, and that's, Lord, save me. Have you ever come to that place in your life to where you've opened the door and asked the Lord to come in? It's interesting. Do you know that He's doing the same thing? He's inviting you as well. Would you this morning, if you've never been born again, if you've never received Him as Savior, this morning, it's as simple Heavenly Father, Lord, we long to hear Your voice in Your word. Lord, we sit this morning in Your presence with Your word open before us. Lord, I pray we've heard Your words. I pray we've heard Your message, that we would respond in faith and in obedience. Lord, I pray for my lost friends first and foremost, that they wouldn't let another minute go by separated from You. But Lord, right now, they would open their heart and ask You to come in. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I was born and shapen in sin. Lord, there's nothing I can do to change that. You have to do that. So, Lord, I come to You under Your terms, believing that You died to pay for those sins that I've committed against You. You were buried, and 3 days later, You resurrected. Now You're seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession, waiting to hear that prayer, Lord, save me. I pray that would happen right now. Lord, would You speak now to Your children, and may we, Your children, listen and take heed to what You're saying to us. Lord, there's no excuse to have sin and remain in a sin without confessing it to You. Lord, the consequences of that sin will not go away. So, Lord, may we be honest with You this morning. Say, Lord, whatever that is that You've just brought to my heart and to my mind, Lord, I admit it. I'm not blaming anybody else. I'm not blaming You. I'm not blaming circumstances. I'm certainly not trying to justify it. I just want You to forgive me, Lord. Help me to turn away from it and never go back. Lord, maybe we've not heard from you because we've gone days without ever even picking up your Bible. We've gone days and we've never said anything to you, so you're not saying anything to us. Lord, we want to remove this morning any hindrance that is keeping us and keeping you from using us in your service. May we respond to your words this morning with faith and with love and with obedience. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.